Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
How's things going?
Good.
All right. Now, I have a warning for you. I got a call yesterday morning from informing me that I had to speak today. And I was like, oh, okay. So sometimes when I get in these situations, I get talking too fast, or I try to read the scriptures too fast. If I do something like that, throw something at me, get my attention. Yeah, box of Kleenex, that'll work. So what we've been doing, we're going through the book of John, different levels, different things in that light. And up until this point, Jesus had been kind of in the background. He didn't make a big deal. He didn't get a lot of public attention. In fact, when he healed people, he told them, don't tell anybody, or he took them aside, things like that. He didn't make a big deal out of anything. But now we get to this point. This is where Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. Or I'm giving some background here. Lazarus was, you know, and Mary and Martha, brother and sisters, and Lazarus got sick. And so Mary and Martha sent word out to Jesus that Lazarus was sick. And Jesus said, okay, and he waited 2 more days. Now, all through the other scriptures, whenever somebody came up and said, my daughter's sick or this is happening, Jesus left and went. But in this case, he waited 2 more days. And you don't find out why he waited until later on. But he got there, he goes back home, and Mary and Martha are there, and they come out and greet him and say, well, you know, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And he said, just have faith. And they go, well, we have faith. So we'll go there. And Jesus says, well, you know, take me to the tomb. And he sees how sad they were, and it says he wept, that he was so sad. And then he says, take away the stone that covers the tomb. Now, in those days back then, they didn't have refrigeration. They didn't have morticians. They didn't have all that stuff that goes. When somebody died, it was practice to bury them on that day right away. And so here they are. It's 4 days now. And he said, take it away. In fact, Martha says, Lord, it's been 4 days. By now, he stinks. Not exact words. And he says, have faith. And then he says what? Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus does. He comes out and he tells him to take off the grave clothes. So that's the setting. But now, it's 6 days. Now, the first scripture up there, It's 6 days before the Passover. Jesus arrives at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Now, there's something in this verse. I pointed out once before that John always adds little things that we don't know unless we kind of dig into it later. It said in the first one I read, it was 6 days until the Passover. Okay, that's important to remember that. And then in this one, it says reclining at the table. Okay? So he's reclining at the table. In that culture, when you went in for a common meal, you sat at the table. For special meals, the men reclined at the table. Don't ask me why. It was more relaxed. Remember at the Last Supper, Jesus was reclining at the table and John and the beloved was leaning against his breast. And so here he is, they're reclining at the table. So this is a special meal. And a lot of scholars believe that this was a thank you meal for Mary, Martha, and Lazarus for bringing Lazarus back from the dead. And so it was a special meal that Jesus had been invited to. And so he had raised it because he had raised Jesus from the dead. And so the dinner was there. And so it was a special meal. Now in verse 3, it says, then Mary took a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house, next one, was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. This is another one of the things that John put in there, because it tells you that he was there. He witnessed it. I mean, he didn't just hear about Mary putting perfume on Jesus' feet. He was there at this, and he witnessed it. Now, the perfume is significant, and I'll tell you a little bit more about it later on, but we'll go from there. But she put the perfume on Jesus' feet, and you know, the bad guy, Judas, complained. He said, "What? Why? Why are you wasting this stuff? This is worth a whole year's wages." In fact, I think we say that in the next slide. He complains about it and says it's worth a whole year's wages. He wasn't concerned about the poor or anything like that. He was a thief. He was the treasurer. He carried the money bag, so he helped himself to money whenever he wanted. He wasn't honest. And so he started to gripe about it. And then Jesus said, "Leave her alone," Jesus replied. "It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial." So here she is. She's putting perfume on his feet, preparing him for burial. Now, scholars look at that and think, this is an act of love. Now, what do you mean by that? Jesus is going to be whipped. He's going to be flogged. He's going to be all kinds of stuff. He's going to be nailed to a cross. All kinds of pain. He's going to be stripped naked during all of this. The only thing he has on is the perfume. And all the pain and all the suffering and all the things that are going on, Jesus can smell the fragrance of that perfume, because it was more like an ointment and it stayed on. And it was a comfort to him because he knew that somebody did care about what was going on. And so he was put there to prepare for the burial. Meanwhile, a large crowd of the Jews found out that Jesus was there and came not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus. Wouldn't you go to see somebody who'd been raised from the dead? Oh, we got somebody out on the lawn. He's been raised from the dead. Do you want to go meet him? Okay. And so he'd been raised from the dead. So it was an exciting part of the log. And so Jesus was there, and the large crowds came and started following. And so now, instead of being quiet and secluded, large crowds are starting to follow, starting to listen. At one point, there were 5,000 people following Jesus, but remember, they walked away because they couldn't handle the eating and drinking of the blood, okay? And so, because this was happening, next slide. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For on the account of him, because of Lazarus, because many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and putting their faith in him. And the Jewish leaders, they hated that, because Jesus was not typical, follow in line with what they were doing. They were into letting the Romans control them. They hated it, but they wanted the attention. They didn't want people getting in the way. And that's what was happening. Jesus was now starting to draw a large crowd. Part of the problem was Lazarus. So they were making plots and plans to kill Jesus, But they were also making plots and plans to get rid of Lazarus because he was there. And they were putting their faith in him. But one of the things that was happening is they didn't outwardly show it because they were afraid of the Jews. They would be put out of the synagogue. They would be forced away. They were kind of shunned if they acknowledged that they did like Jesus. But they made plans, but Jesus was coming into town and the crowds heard about it. And so they took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting Hosanna. Now, normally this is Palm Sunday. So normally I would have handed out a palm leaf or something like that, a palm leaf. And so what I'm going to do is put your hand in the air, wave your hand, wave the palm, okay? Jesus is coming, wave your palm, okay? And that's what was happening. Jesus was there, and people heard that he was coming, so they took the palm branches, and they threw them on the road. And what that signifies is one thing. It's called the triumphal entry. And the Romans celebrated this way. When they went off to war, when they came back, they sent word ahead. They said, we're going to be there Tuesday at 6 o'clock. Well, I don't know if they were that accurate or not. So they would plan a big parade, and people would line the streets, and they even had an arch that they went through. Okay, and they would have their, and they would wave palms, and they would throw flowers and stuff on the road. Sometimes they even threw their coats or their capes or whatever. So here's Jesus coming into town, not quiet like normal. He's got these palms, and they're waving the palms, okay? And he's shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna means, oh, save us. Save. And so they're asking for that. And they took the palm trees and the branches, and they went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna, in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Okay, one more. Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it as it was written. Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king comes, seated on a donkey's colt. Now, what he's doing is he's saying to the people of Israel, don't be afraid. Because in those days, if you were at war and you were a warring king and you entered a town, you would ride in on a war horse, a big horse, to show your power, to show your might. But if you come in peace, you come on a donkey. Can you see somebody leading people into battle on a donkey? Charge! Clip, 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 clip. Doesn't happen. But that's what he's saying. So he was saying that. So he's saying to them, be at calm, be at peace. Don't be afraid. How do you know not to be afraid? Look at what I'm riding on. I'm on a donkey and it's, we're taking our time. But Jesus is making himself public to the people. He's no longer in the background. And the Jewish leaders are looking at that and they are worried. Because they are hoping for a Messiah that is going to defeat the Romans, cast them off, get rid of them. And Jesus really doesn't care about the Romans. He doesn't care about the Romans. He cares about us. That's his whole focus, and his whole focus is we, the people, not the leaders, not the warriors, not the government. He's not worried about that because that's not eternal. We are, but all that stuff is going to be gone. In fact, it was not that many years later that the Roman Empire was done. Okay? And the thing about it is, a lot of times, I think the next one slide says, at first the disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified And did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him? It wasn't till they were down the road, everything had happened, that they could look back and say, oh, this is what was happening. This is why he did this. He did this now, then, for this. They look back and they could see it. Hindsight is always 20/20. Isn't that true? Often, I look at so many times that I've looked in the back and go, why did I do that? Or why did somebody else do it? And then when it gets over, you go, that's why they did it. It's always easier to look back and see, oh, that's what it's all about. Okay? And so, I keep forgetting I can tell you this. John 12:23-24 says, now the crowd that was with him when he had called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. So the crowd's growing. It's not just him now. Okay, I'm up here right now giving the message. We're through with the service, if we go out that door and you go out and you start telling some other people about it, it's spreading. And then they tell and they tell and they tell. Did it work? John 12:23-24 gives a parable. Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Now, that's another change. Jesus was always, things were happening, and they said, oh, it's not my time. It's not my time. It's not my time. Now he says, the time has come for me to be glorified. And then he says, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Did Jesus produce seeds? Yes. Yes. One time, 5,000 people were following him. Then it dwindled down. After the crucifixion, it was down smaller. He saw 500 people. They saw him. Started spreading again. Day of Pentecost, 120 people are in the upper room. Up and down. Peter gets up, he gives his talk. 3,000 people are converted. And then it says people added daily, all the time. And the word spread. How many Christians in the world right now? 2.2 billion. Yeah, the seed spread. And it is spreading still. And it's still spreading. So there's 2.2 billion. And Jesus said, if I tell you the truth, unless a kernel... Oh, I told you that one, didn't I? Let's have the next slide. Now, my heart is troubled. Jesus knew what was coming. If you knew that you were going to be crucified in 6 days, would your heart be troubled? I mean, in the garden, he says, Lord... God, Father, if there's any way you can pass, let this pass from me, let it happen. But not my will, but yours be done. Not my will. Now my heart is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It was for this very reason I came to this hour. Again, he's reassuring. Does God reassure us in our lives? How does God reassure you?
Just through faith, my own faith.
Just through your faith. Sometimes it's a message. Sometimes it's putting somebody in your life. Have you ever had somebody in your life that shows up for no apparent reason and tells you something, does something, and then disappears? When Troy Perry was in the hospital, he came out as gay. He was a pastor in the Pentecostal church. They threw him out. Things were going bad. He moved to California, got a boyfriend. Things are going better. Boyfriend dumps him. He gets so depressed, he's going to kill himself. Ends up in the emergency room. And out of nowhere, he describes her as an army doctor, a nurse, comes in and basically gives him the what for, tells him to get his act together because God's got a plan for him that he's supposed to carry out. Not exact words. And he does. Never sees the nurse again. She wasn't taking care of him. She just came out of nowhere. I've had that happen in my life. And God showed me things. And sometimes it's just a good swift kick that says, But our calling is to die to ourselves. That's what, when Karina was talking about worship through giving, we give up our lives, parts of our lives, for the glory of God. And we do it in all kinds of ways. Okay? And so he said, he's in this prayer. He says, Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. Okay? The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel has spoken to him. But I, when I am lifted up, Jesus said, but I will lift it up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. And he said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. And so he showed the people, I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be crucified. And it was important that they know that. And the whole plan was laid out. It's 6 days till Passover. In 6 days, he's going to be crucified. In 6 days, he's going to be crucified. And he's letting people know that, that it was going to happen. And that it was going to take place. And it had to happen at Passover. And you say, well, why did he have to be crucified at Passover? When was the sacrificial lamb offered up in Jewish traditions? On Passover. There were two. There were two goats, right? You remember that? There's a goat that they offered and they burned. And then there's a scapegoat. And they take the scapegoat and they lay their hands on it. And they put the sins of the people on the scapegoat. And then they take the scapegoat out into the wilderness and send it off to be on its merry way all by itself. But the problem was, sometimes that scapegoat would wander back into town. And you don't want this goat that has all the sins of all the people of the world on it in your herd. So what they started doing, they took a red cloth and they put it around the top of the goat's head so they would know that's the goat. And the rains and water and stuff would get on it and it would dye the hair on the head. And once in a while, that goat would still come back to town. I mean, we've taken Richard out many times, and he keeps coming back. Now, in this case, we're glad. Okay? But the goat would come back, and you'd see, you know, and then what do you do? You know? So what they did, they started hiring a Gentile, because, I mean, they couldn't harm the goat. So they started hiring a Gentile to take the goat out into the wilderness where it would have an accident so that it could never come back. Basically, they paid the Gentiles to kill the scapegoat. Okay? So what happens when Jesus is turned around? They take Jesus, they beat him, they whip him, they put the crown of thorns on his head. He now has the red ring around there from blood. They give him to the Gentiles, the Romans, to crucify. They take Jesus outside of the temple and they crucify him outside the city. He's the scapegoat. He has all of our sins on him. They're all there here now. We are free of all that. But some people wouldn't accept that. For this reason, they could not believe because of Isaiah said in elsewhere. He has blinded their eyes and deadened their hearts, so they can neither see with their ears, hear nor understand with their hearts, nor turn, and I... Anyway, what it's saying is, for this reason, they would not believe because of Isaiah said elsewhere. Okay, next slide. He has blinded their eyes and deadened their hearts so that they can neither see with their ears nor understand with their eyes. Oh, yeah. Can you see with your ears? Sometimes. And they would turn and I would heal them. Okay. Now, next slide. As for the people who hear my word, but do not keep them, I do not judge them. This is Jesus talking. As for the people who won't accept, I do not judge them. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save it. Have we ever heard that before? Let's see, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believed in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. We hear it a second time again. Jesus says, I didn't come to condemn. Now, we see things that people do stuff like that condemn, and it's, Jesus says, I didn't come to condemn. And Paul, when he was asked, he says, I don't even judge myself. That's pretty cool, isn't it? We should not even judge ourselves. That's God's job, not Jesus. Not Jesus' job. But Jesus gets the rap a lot of times, doesn't he? Jesus gets the blame, but it's not Jesus. He's not going to judge the world. He came to save us. And if you're saved, God's not going to bug you. If you're feeling condemned, it ain't God. Not Jesus. It's that little bad guy that goes around trying to condemn, telling us lies in the life we have. And Jesus is getting more and more out in the open. Why is he getting out in the open? Because now people need to know what he's doing. People need to know that he's going to go to that cross. He's going to die for you. And if somebody tells you that he's not, they're lying. They're not telling the truth. Okay? But if we want eternal life, we have to wait. And he says in 48, there is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. That very word which I spoke will condemn him at the last day. I'm telling you what's going to happen. I'm telling you what's going to set you free. I'm telling you what's going to bind you. Because if we continue to hang on to those things we've done wrong, we're going to be bound. And we're not going to feel that freedom. We're not going to feel that joy. We're not going to feel that confidence in doing the things that we need to do in Jesus Christ or in our life. We're not going to feel the comfort of his presence because we keep holding on to the past And the past is the past. Okay? For I do not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me command me what to say and how to say it. Jesus didn't even speak his own words. He listened to the Father tell him what to do. I know that his command leads to eternal. I know that his command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. Whatever Jesus commanded is what God told him to say. Paul, when he's out in the defense, Jesus says, when you go before the courts, don't worry about it. Don't worry about what you're going to say, because I will tell you what to say. Isn't that comforting? When somebody gives you the riot act, don't worry about it. Just let the Holy Spirit tell you what to say and what to do. Because he's going to be the one that gives you the peace and the comfort. I told you before many times when I came out, the Holy Spirit told me, you're fine. You're the same person you've always been. You just know who you are now. Amen. And I was like, whoa. Okay. And I thought about all the people back here that are going to, because I was a little return missionary, they're going to feel so bad about me. And the Spirit said, their problem, not yours. And I was like, oh. And I was talking to somebody the other day that keeps struggling with that. And I says, remember what I told you before? And said this again. I says, what's the difference? I believe it. You don't. You still keep questioning. And that's, I came out in 1978. It was not easy back then. But the Spirit told me I was fine. And it was their problem. I walked back into my work at the hospital and everybody went, whoa, he's gay, isn't he? And some gay people I worked with said, you walked in with this billboard around your neck. I said, really? I don't remember putting it there. But okay. The Holy Spirit told, I believed. Listen. Believe and trust. Maybe you're doing something in your life or something's taking place in your life that needs to happen, but the time is not right. And if the Spirit tells you the time's not right, wait for the time when the Spirit said, Barry, it's now time. It's now time. And will you be able to do it with strength and power? Yeah. Yeah. And it'll be good. Years ago, I ended up on television one time. Didn't think I was going to, but I did. Okay. Family and friends saw me and said, hey, saw you. I went into work one day, and one of the nurses said, you were in my bedroom this morning. I said, I what? Said, I had my radio set to this station, and you were on there. It was a radio program that Lee Shaw and I went and talked on for an hour, and they played it about 27 times. But was that, were we afraid? No. Because the Holy Spirit was telling us what to say. And the Holy Spirit's going to tell each of us. Jesus was there. He said, I'm not excited about this. But am I going to back down from it? No. No. Do we have to give up some things in our life? Yeah. To get a better life, not to gain salvation. not to gain salvation. You're saved. But maybe there are a few things you need to do in your life that's going to make your life a little better. When the Holy Spirit tells you, say, thank you. Thank you. Will you pray with me? Loving God, thank you for having a plan and sticking to it. Help us as we read your word, to, especially John, to find those little things that John puts in there that we don't quite see. And if we have a question, help us to ask and to live. And then, Lord, most of all, give us the courage to do what you tell us to do. Because you will, and you do, and we will, when you tell us. Lord, there's people outside this building, all over the world, who need to know of your love. There are countries, Lord, so full of hatred and needing your Holy Spirit to guide them and direct them, needing the touch of your hand. Lord, help us to be a seed that dies to self and multiplies many, 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 many more seeds in the action. So I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.